Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Yes, see his banner go, brothers and sisters. Say shalom aleichem to all my purebred, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 25th of December, 2017. We are in the book of Jasher, or Yashar, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. We will be beginning at chapter 7 today. You can find this book at www.sacred-texts.com/CHR. At Charlie Hotel Radio, /APO/Jasher/index.htm. And it will have the text I'm reading from, except I have corrected a lot of the names, spellings, where they have God or the Lord. I have replaced the sacred name. Yeah, pardon me, I had a little cough. So let's get into this. Chapter 7, verse 1, and you can reference Genesis chapter 6, verse 10, and chapter 10, verse 1. And these are the names of the sons of Noach: Japheth, with a Y, Y-A-P-H-E-T-H, there is no J in Hebrew, period. Cham, C-H. A-M, not H-A-M, and Shem. And the children were born to them after the flood, for they had taken wives, and children were born to them, I misread that, after the flood, for they had taken wives before the floods. Verse 2, these are the sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yawan, Y-A-W-A-N, Yawan. That's the same as the word for Greece, like the country of Greece. Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras, seven sons. Verse 3, and the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Tegarma. Verse 4, and the sons of Magog were Elikanaph and Lubal. You want to check that with Genesis, okay? There are spelling variations. Verse 5. And the children of Madai were Achon, Ze'elo, Chazoni, and Lot. Verse 6. And the sons of Yawan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dudonim. Now those became cities named after those people, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dudonim. And the sons of Tubal were Arifi, Chesed, and Ta'ari. Verse 8. And the sons of Meshach were Dedon, Zaron, and Shebashni. Verse 9. And the sons of Tiras were Benib, Gera, Luperion, and Gilak. These are the sons or grandsons of Japheth according to their families. And their numbers in those days were about 460 men. All right, and here is another section. You can reference Genesis chapter 10, verse 16. Let me clear my lungs again, folks. I have a little lung congestion right this second. All right, verse 10. And these are the sons of Ham. It's C-H-A-M, not H-A-M. Okay. Cush. Mitzrayim. That would be Egypt. Put. P-H-U-T. And Canaan. That's Canaan, okay? Four sons. And the sons of Cush were Seba, Hawilah, Sabta, Ra'ama, and Sateka. And the sons of Ra'ama were Sheba and Dedan. Or Dodan. They would be the Dodanese. Sheba. Remember the queen of Sheba? They tried to say she was a foreign queen. Well, she was of that stock. She was not a Negress. Okay. Let's get that out of the way right now. Neither were the people of Cush. Hebrew Cush is not Ethiopia. Okay? Don't let people tell you that nonsense. Verse 11. And the sons of Mitzrayim, that would be Egypt, that's what they called Egypt, were Lud, Anom, and Paphros, Kosloth, and Kaphtor. Verse 12. And the sons of Put, that's P-H-U-T, were Gebul, Hadan, Benna, and Adan. Verse 13. And the sons of Canaan, or Canaan, were Zidon, Heth, Amori, Gergashi, Hewi, Arki, Seni, Arodi, Zimodi, and Chamothi. All right, those were the cursed seeds. That was the Zidonese. That was a Canaanite city. Heth, that's who Esau married into, cursed seed. The Hittites. Amori, the Amorites. Girgashi, the Girgashites. Hiwi, the Hivites. Arki, the Arkites. Seni, the Senites. Arodi, Zimodi, and Chamothi. These are the sons of Cham. Actually, they phrase it that way. These are the descendants of Cham, according to their families, and their numbers in those days were about 730 men. Now, Cham did a no-no, and his children were cursed. And they became enemies of true Israel. Verse 15. And you can reference Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. And these are the sons of Shem. Elam, Ashur, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. Five sons. And the sons of Elam were Shushan, Machul, and Harmon. Getting the picture, the Elamites, the Ashurites, Arpachshadites, the Ludim, and Arami, the Arameans. This is the lineage of Shem. They're Shemitic people. The Arami, okay, from which Terach and Abraham were descended, are of our seed line. So don't tell, and Aram is Syria. Don't tell the original people there were our kindred. So they fouled up history and lied to everybody. And the sons of Elam were Shushan, Machul, and Harmon. And the sons of Ashar, or Ashur, were Miris and Mochil, and the son of Arpachshad were Shelach, Anar, and Ashkol. And the sons of Lud were Pethor and Bizayon, and the sons of Aram were Uz, that's the Uzim, Hul, Gather, and Mash. These are the sons of Shem, the Shemitic line, according to their families, and their number in those days were about 300 men. Now, here we go. Verse 19. These are the generations of Shem. Listen to this carefully. Shem begat Arpachshad, and Arpachshad begat Shelach, and Shelach begat Eber, that's the Ibri, the Hebrews, okay, the Hebrew people from Shem. And to Eber were born two children. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days the sons of men were divided. And in the latter days the land was divided. Verse 20. And the name of the second was Yochtan, meaning that in his day the lives of the sons of men were diminished and lessened. We didn't live as long. After the flood, because the rakia, the dome above the earth, would shatter, and all that water that was suspended up there fell down. That's where the flood came from. It rained all those days. And then unabated sunlight was on the earth, and it lessened our lifespan. How about them apples? They don't teach you this in Bible school. Verse 21, these are the sons of Yachtan, Almodad, Shelaph, Kazamoeth, Yerach, Hadurom, Ozel, Dikla. Now they spell it different. It's D-I-Q-L-A-H, but they have D-I-K. It sounds the same. Okay, the translators translated into English, whatever. Okay, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, the gold of Ophir, remember? Chawilah. Now that's C-H-A-W-I-L-A-H, not Havilah, Chawilah. And Yobab, no J, a Y. All these are sons of Yochtan. Verse 22. And Peleg his brother begat Yen. And Yen begat Serug. And Serug begat Nahor. And Nahor begat Terah. And Terah was 38 years old, and he begat Haran and Nahor. That's Genesis 11, 19. Okay. Terach. There you go. Ancestors of Abraham, or Abram, at first. Verse 23, and Cush, the son of Ham, the son of Noach, took a wife in those days in his old age, and she bare a son, and they called his name Nimrod, saying, at that time the sons of men again began to rebel and transgress against Yah, or Elohim. He was rebellious. He was a mighty hunter of men. He was a killer. Okay? And he founded Babel. At that time, the sons of men again began to rebel and transgress against Yahweh, against Elohim. He was one of them. And the child grew up, and his father loved him exceedingly, for he was the son of his old age. Now listen to this, verse 24, on here. And the garments of skin which Elohim made for Adam and his wife when they went out of the garden were given to Cush when they died. For after the death of Adam and his wife, the garments were given to Enoch, the son of Yared, and when Enoch was taken up to Elohim, he gave them to Methuselah, his son. And at the death of Methuselah, Noah took them and brought them to the ark, and they were with him until he went out of the ark. And in their going out, Now listen to this. Ham stole those garments from Noach, his father, and he took them and hid them from his brothers. Verse 28. And when Ham begat his firstborn Cush, he gave him the garments in secret, and they were with Cush many days. Verse 29. And Cush also concealed them from his sons and brothers, and when Cush had begotten Nimrod, he gave him those garments through his love for him, and Nimrod grew up, and when he was 20 years old, he put on those garments. Now, these were made by Yahweh, okay? Verse 30, and Nimrod became strong when he put on the garments, and Yah, or Elohim, gave him might and strength, and he was a mighty hunter in the land. He was a mighty hunter in the field, and he hunted the animals, and he built altars, and he offered upon them the animals before Yahweh. But in other texts, he was also a mighty hunter of men. Verse 31. And Nimrod strengthened himself, and he rose up from amongst his brethren, and he fought the battles of his brethren against all their enemies round about. Verse 32. And Yahweh delivered all the enemies of his brethren in his hands, and Elohim prospered him from time to time in his battles, and he reigned upon the land. Verse 33. Therefore, it became current in those days when a man ushered forth those that he had trained up for battle, he would say to them, like Elohim did to Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter in the land, and who succeeded in the battles that prevailed against his brethren, that he delivered them from the hands of their enemies. So may Elohim strengthen us and deliver us this day. That was a saying that they would say. And to his sons, that was a little like a prayer. Verse 34. And when Nimrod was 40 years old, at that time there was a war between his brethren and the children of Japheth. Kindred fighting kindred. So that they were in the power of their enemies. Now, pardon me. His brethren and the children of Japheth. No, the Japhethites were fighting with them. They were allies. I misread that. I am sorry. This is an old book. And Nimrod, verse 35, and Nimrod went forth at that time, and he assembled all the sons of Cush and their families, about 460 men. And he hired also some of his friends and acquaintances, about 80 men, and gave them their hire, and he went with them to battle. And when he was on the road, Nimrod strengthened the hearts of the people that went with him. And he said to them, do not fear, neither be alarmed. For all our enemies will be delivered into our hands, and you may do with them as you please. Doesn't say who they were fighting. Verse 37. And all the men that went were about 500, and they fought against their enemies, and they destroyed them and subdued them. And Nimrod placed standing officers over them in their places. Verse 38. And he took some of their children as security, and they were all servants to Nimrod and to his brethren, and Nimrod and all the people that were with him turned homeward. Verse 39. And when Nimrod had joyfully returned from battle, after having conquered his enemies, all his brethren, together with those who knew him before, assembled to make him king over them, and they placed a regal crown upon his head. Verse 40. And he set over his subjects and people princes, judges, and rulers, as is the custom among kings. Verse 41. And he placed Terach, the son of Nahor, the prince of his host, and he dignified him and elevated him above all his princes. Verse 42. And while he was reigning according to his heart's desire, after having conquered all his enemies around, he advised with his counselors to build a city for his palace, and they did so. Verse 43. And they found a large valley opposite to the east, and they built him a large and extensive city. And Nimrod called the name of the city that he built Shinar, for Yahweh had vehemently shaken his enemies and destroyed them. Verse 44. And Nimrod dwelt in Shinar, and he reigned securely, and he fought with his enemies, and he subdued them, and he prospered in all of his battles, and his kingdom became very great. Verse 45. And all nations and tongues heard of his fame, and they gathered themselves to him, and they bowed down to the land or ground, and they brought him offerings, and he became their lord and king, and they all dwelt with him in the city of Shinar. And Nimrod reigned in the land over all the sons of Noach, and they were all under his power and counsel. Let me get a drink of coffee and wet my whistle here. Okay. Listen to this. You'll recognize this. Verse 46. And all the land was of one tongue and words of union. But Nimrod did not go in the ways of Yahweh, and he was more wicked than all the men that were before him from the days of the flood until those days. Important passage. Another important passage, verse 47. And he made gods, or Elohim, little e, of wood and stone, you know, the kind that don't do anything, they're just sitting there. And he bowed down to them, and he rebelled against Yahweh, and taught all his subjects and the people of the land his wicked ways. And Mardon, now it's M-A-R-D-O-N in this book, his son was more wicked than his father. He might have been named Marduk, okay? There's that possibility, because the spelling in this is a little iffy sometimes because of the translators. We don't have a Hebrew copy of this book, or I would give you the exact phraseology. And everyone that heard of the acts of Mardon, the son of Nimrod, would say concerning him, from the wicked goes forth wickedness. Therefore, it became a proverb in the whole land, saying, from the wicked goeth forth wickedness. And it was current in the words of men from that time to this. Verse 49. And Terach, the son of Nahor, prince of Nimrod's host, was in those days very great in the sight of the king and his subjects, and the king and princes loved him, and they elevated him very high. Now pay attention to this. This is verse 50 and 51. This is more history, which gives you the birth of Abram, later to be called Abraham. Verse 50. And Terach took a wife, and her name was Amthelo, the daughter of Cornabo. And the wife of Terach conceived and bare him a son in those days. Terach was 70 years old when he begat him, and Terach called the name of his son that was born to him Abram, because the king had raised him in those days and dignified him above all his princes that were with him. And Abram means father of people. As does Abraham, which means father of the people. And you can find that in Genesis 11, verse 26. Now let's see. That ends chapter 7. Now I want to do chapter 8 and 9, but I'm not going to be able to get chapter 9 in. It's a big, long chapter, and I just won't be able to do it. So I will do chapter 8 here and then do comments. As I said, we're not in a hurry, and I don't want to cut anything out of any of this by trying to rush through it. That does not serve this text well. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it was in the night that Abram was born, that all the servants of Terach and all the wise men of Nimrod and his conjurers, which is against Yahweh's laws, came and ate and drank in the house of Terach. And they rejoiced with him on that night. And when all the wise men and conjurers went out from the house of Terach, they lifted up their eyes toward the sky that night at the stars. And they saw, and behold, one very large star came from the east and ran in the skies. And he swallowed up the four stars from the four sides of the skies. Now, they saw a celestial vision, okay? Verse 3. And all the wise men of the king and his conjurers were astonished at the sight. And the sages understood this matter, and they knew its import. Verse 4, and they said to each other, this only betokens the child that has been born to Terach this night, who will grow up and be fruitful and multiply and possess all the land, he and his children forever. And he and his seed line will slay great kings and inherit the lands. That would be Abraham, the forefather of all Israel. Wow. Verse 5, and the wise men and conjurers went home that night, and in the morning all wise men and conjurers rose up early and assembled in an appointed house. Verse 6, and they spoke and said to each other, behold, the sight that we saw last night is hidden from the king. It has not been made known to him. And should this thing get known to the king in the latter days, he will say to us, why have you concealed this matter from me? And then we shall all suffer death. Now let us go and tell the king of the sight which we saw in the interpretation of it, and we shall be clear. Okay. Pardon me, I couldn't stifle the sneeze. I'm sorry. Let me clear my pipes here. Oh, it's terrible when your nose tickles like that. And they did so, and they all went to the king and bowed down to him to the ground. In other words, they prostrated themselves. And they said, may the king live, may the king live. Verse 9. We heard that a son was born to Terach, the son of Nahor, the prince of your host. And we yesternight came to his house, and we ate and drank and rejoiced with him that night. Verse 10. And when your servants, speaking of themselves, went out from the house of Terach to go to our respective homes to abide there for the night, we lifted up our eyes to the sky, and we saw a great star coming from the east. And the same star ran with great speed and swallowed up four great stars from the four sides of the skies. And your servants were astonished at the sight which we saw. Yeah, I bet they were. And were greatly terrified, and we made our judgment upon the sight, and knew by our wisdom the proper interpretation of it, that this thing applies to the child that is born to Terach, who will grow up and multiply greatly and become powerful and kill all the kings of the lands, and inherit all the lands he and his seed or seed line forever. Verse 12. And now, our Lord and King, behold, we have truly acquainted you with what we have seen concerning this child. Verse 13. If it seems good to the king to give his father value for this child, we will slay him before he shall grow up and increase in the land, and his evil increase against us. It should be harm, that we and our children perish through his evil. Ooh, these were some nasty folks. Some friends, huh? Verse 14. And the king heard their words, and they seemed good in his sight, and he sent and called for Terach. And Terach came before the king. This is Nimrod, okay? Came before Nimrod. And the king said to Terach, I have been told that a son was yesternight, born to you, and after this manner was observed in the skies at his birth. And now give me the child, that we may slay him before his evil springs up against us, and I will give you for his value your house full of silver and gold. You see how evil this Nimrod was? Verse 17, and Terach answered the king and said to him, my lord and king, I have heard your words, and your servant shall do all that the king desires, but, my lord and king, I will tell you what happened to me yesternight, that I may see what advice the king will give his servant, and then I will answer the king upon what he has spoken. And the king said, speak. Okay. And Terach said to the king, this is verse 19, Ion, son of Mored, came to me yesternight, saying, give unto me the great and beautiful horse that the king gave you, and I will give you silver and gold and straw and provender for its value. And I said to him, wait till I see the king concerning your words, and behold, whatever the king says, that I will do. Verse 21, and now, my lord and king, behold, I have made this thing known to you, and the advice which my king will give to his servant, that will I follow. And the king heard the words of Terach, and his anger was kindled, and he considered him in the light of a fool. Verse 23, and the king answered Terach, and he said to him, are you so silly, ignorant, or deficient in understanding to do this thing, to give your beautiful horse for silver and gold, or even for straw and provender? Verse 24. Are you so short of silver and gold that you should do this thing because you cannot obtain straw and provender to feed your horse? And what is silver and gold to you, or straw and provender, that you should give away that fine horse which I gave you, like which there is none to be had in the whole land? He put a parable in on him. Verse 25, and the king left off speaking, and Terach answered the king, saying, like unto this has the king spoken to his servant. So I beseech thee, my lord and king, what is this which you did say to me, saying, give your son that we may slay him, and I will give you silver and gold for his value. What shall I do with silver and gold after the death of my son, who shall inherit me? It's this firstborn son. Then at my death, the silver and gold will return to my king who gave it. Ooh. Verse 27. And when the king heard the words of Terach and the parable which he brought concerning the king, it grieved him greatly, and he was vexed at that thing, and his anger burned within him. And Terach saw that the anger of the king was kindled against him, and he answered the king, saying, all that I have is in the king's power. Whatever the king desires to do to his servant, that let him do. Even my son, he is in the king's power, without value in exchange. He and his two brothers that are older than he. Wasn't his firstborn son. I was wrong. I made a mistake. This is a special son. And the king said to Terach, no, but I will purchase your younger son for a price. Verse 30. And Terach answered the king, saying, I beseech you, my lord and king, to let thy servant speak a word before you, and let the king hear the word of his servant. And Terach said, let my king give me 3 days' time till I consider this matter within myself and with my family concerning the words of my king. And he pressed the king greatly to agree with this. Verse 31, and the king hearkened to Terach, and he did so, and he gave him 3 days' time. And Terach went out from the king's presence, and he came home to his family and spoke to them all the words of the king. And the people were greatly afraid. I guess. Verse 32, and it was in the third day that king sent to Terach, saying, send me your son for a price as I spoke to you. And should you not do this, I will send and slay all you have in your house, so that you shall not even have a dog remaining. That's rough. Verse 33, and Terach hastened, as the thing was urgent from the king, and he took a child from one of his servants, which his handmaid had borne to him that day. And Terach brought the child to the king and received value for him. He fooled him, but he sacrificed an innocent. Verse 34, and Yahweh was with Terach in this matter, that Nimrod might not cause Abram's death. And the king took the child from Terach and with all his might dashed his head to the ground, for he thought it had been Abram. And this was concealed from him that day, and it was forgotten by the king, as it was the will of Providence not to suffer Abram's death. Verse 35. And Terach took Abram his son secretly, together with his mother and nurse, and he concealed them in a cave. And he brought them their provisions monthly. Verse 36. And Yahweh was with Abram in the cave, and he grew up. And Abram was in the cave 10 years. And the king and his princes, soothsayers, and sages thought that the king had killed Abram. And that ends chapter 8. So he skunked the king. What can I say? He fooled him. And later on, this is gonna come back on Nimrod. This book is so full of additional info. I mean, nowhere do you find the continuation of this story but here. And you wonder, why are these books suppressed by the mainstream churches? And I wonder that too, but it's pretty obvious that they give so much information that it might upset some of the theology, quote unquote, of the churches. And this is not our fault, this is the fault of the churches. So, I feel it is necessary for me to bring this information to light for all my brothers and sisters. You can take it or leave it. You can look it up on that website I gave you of sacred texts. You can take it or leave it. You know, I'm not going to cram it down your throat. You can believe it or not believe it. But I'm giving you the option by reading it here, because I believe I owe you that. Because you are my brothers and sisters, and this information it is a further trail on the truth, and you can open up your minds with it, and it connects things so much better. Good, just common sense. All of these things used to be in Scripture. The book of Jasher, or Yashar, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, is mentioned in the scripture. This is not a spurious book, something somebody made up. Now, there are those out there that are iffy, okay? I understand that. And I'm not doing those, but I'm going to take, when I'm done with this, I'm going to take a couple of the others that are not in the regular Apocrypha, and I'm going to read them, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Enoch, and then I'm going to get into the Apocrypha itself, which is the intertestamental period with history of the Hyrcanus crowd. And we're going to do all of that, and then when I'm done with all of the Apocrypha, because some of the books are pretty short, then we'll get into the New Testament, and that's going to be a killer. Oh, boy, I'm just going to enjoy the heck out of that. I love the Word. I'm just ate up with the zeal for His house. Well, it's almost 55 minutes. I've got like 57 minutes for show time, so I'll cut off the reading, but I want to give the websites, my website where you can download or listen to all of this is https, as in sugar, :// www.pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive website. You can't chat there and you can't post nasty comments and troll. It's a download and study site only because I don't have time to police for trolls. Nobody can get into the site but me. It saves a lot of problems, and you don't have to wade through a whole bunch of nonsense. Very user-friendly, very easy to download from. At this time, I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep all of you. This is on the traditional Christmas. I don't celebrate Christmas. It is a pagan holiday. So I will say to my Israelite brothers and sisters, Shalom Aleichem, may peace be with you, and praise Yahweh and Yeshua the Messiah. Amen and amen.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.